singable songs. And that's very helpful. Matthew chapter 26, if you would turn there, please, in your Bible. Matthew chapter 26, I want to begin reading at verse 17. We're looking today how that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. We're going to look at Exodus and see some statements made regarding the Passover lamb. And then we'll look at some New Testament passages that show that Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The book of Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 22, where we look at Luke's record of this account. Now, Jesus said, we're going to meet for the Passover. He gave instructions about getting a place to do that. And then, as he observed the Passover with them, we just read how he began to speak of his body and his blood and the New Testament, the new covenant that God was making. In the Passover, they were observing the old covenant. He was introducing the new one. All right, Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The Master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, before we begin to look at the comparison, I make an observation that in both of these accounts, and especially in Luke, Jesus gave the detail that would be necessary for them to find a place. He said, when you go in the city, you're going to see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow that guy. When he gets to the house, you follow him on in. Was the door standing open? Was it into a courtyard kind of situation? Okay. In our day, we would think that was, wow, you know, somebody follows a person, just walks in my house. Whatever the situation in that day, be it a courtyard type thing or just an open door, or him just following the man in, it wasn't out of order. Now, God will tell us to do something. We won't hear an audible voice. He'll prompt our hearts and minds, and he'll guide us to do things for him. And when he does, he'll give us the details that we need. Now, they had to walk by faith in that they had to go to the city and realize they were going to see a man with a pitcher. So even though he gave them the details, faith was definitely involved, because they could have, where they were, just, you know, begin to ask questions. Well, what's this man going to look like? And what happens if there's more than one man with a pitcher? And what's the man of the house going to say when we walk in? And they may have had all these questions. The bottom line is, they did what Jesus said. And even if they had the questions and asked Jesus, it's not recorded for us. What's recorded for us is Jesus led them, said, do this, and they did it. And when Jesus leads us, we don't have questions, no doubt. And we can go to him in prayer and ask him about those things. But if they were asking questions, it was while they had the intention to do what he said. If we're asking questions, looking for a way out of doing what God tells us, that's not good. Jesus is not there for us to dicker with or to debate with regarding what he tells us. He's there to lead us. And it's all right to have questions, and it's all right to ask him the questions, as long as your attitude and intention is, I'm going to do it. I just wonder, Lord, about this. I wonder about that. He knows. He understands. The problem is when I'm trying to debate with him and get out of doing what he's saying. That's not good. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. One last passage, then we'll start with Exodus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So here we see Christ is our Passover. He is the fulfillment of what Jesus was observing there in the upper room. Verse 8, therefore, because Christ is our Passover, because of that, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We are going to observe the Lord's Supper here when I've completed the sermon. The Lord's Supper is for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. those who do not know him as Savior, that have not trusted him, received him into their life. I believe the scriptures teach us it would be better for them to willingly refrain from taking the communion. I urge you to examine your own heart if you have that saving faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But he tells us, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven. We don't do it in the old way and in the way of the Passover. We do it now with the bread of sincerity and truth. You know your heart. I cannot be the judge of that. All right, Exodus chapter 12. And you will want to put a marker in Exodus chapter 12 because we will be coming back to it frequently. Exodus chapter 12. Looking at verse 3. Exodus 12, 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. They shall take a lamb. And so the Passover lamb is the significance of what we're looking at here in Exodus 12. Keeping your place in Exodus 12, turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, John the Baptist, down by the Jordan River, baptizing people in the Old Testament manner. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, John looks at Jesus and says about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, the Passover lamb back in Exodus, that Passover lamb was given so that the sins of the Jews could be dealt with. Now, we realize, and we'll read it, how the death angel was going to be coming through the land of Egypt. And they had to have the blood of this lamb on the doorposts and the lintel. It was necessary for them so that the death angel would what? Pass over their house. If a house did not have the blood on the doorposts and the top beam, then the death angel would go into that house and would strike dead the firstborn. But God instructed through Moses, this is what you tell the people to do, to take a lamb. He'll be the Passover lamb. And that's exactly what we're told in John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When judgment day comes and the spiritual death of eternal separation would be experienced, if you are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, how do I get that covering? That comes when you put your faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. And when you do that, then the blood is applied to your life. And come that day of judgment, you will not be eternally separated from God forever and ever, but rather you will be with God forever and ever. You say, what must I do to get the blood covering? You must put your trust in Jesus Christ. You see, these Jews, these Israelites, there in Egypt, when they were instructed this, they had to decide, would they trust what Moses was telling them? Would they not only trust it, but would they do it? You see, it's not faith to just know that God will cover you with the blood and your sins will not separate you forever and ever. It's not enough just to know that. You must do it. You must come in your life and say, I trust what Jesus did on the cross to pay the price for my sin. When you do that, he promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. That's why we sing the song, saved, saved, saved by the blood of the crucified one. So many songs that refer to the blood. Why? Because it's important and it's precious. All right, let's look at the next thing. In Exodus 12, verse 5, he says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. In other words, you take it out of the flock. This is a special lamb in that it's without blemish. You don't, you know, you're going to make a sacrifice. You don't pick just, you know, any old lamb because it's going to get killed anyway. You pick the best. You pick the best. And if you look at 1 Peter back in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, if you have difficulty looking for and finding them, you can, of course, just sit and listen as I read them, maybe make note and look them up when you have more time, if finding them in the Bible is difficult for you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, where Peter writes, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Spiritually speaking, we're not redeemed, we're not saved by material things like silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You don't get saved by material things that you can give. You don't get saved by just doing what everybody else in my family did. Well, my family, you know, for generations, they've been members of such and such a church. Or my family, for generations, they built that church and they started that cemetery and they've always been leaders in that church. And listen, you don't get saved that way. That's commendable when a family has that kind of heritage, but you don't get saved by that. You'll burn in hell the same as a person who's never heard. He tells us very clearly, but with the precious blood, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, see what it says, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now that's exactly what Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5 said was necessary for the sacrifice lamb, the Passover lamb, that it be without blemish. And you say, well, that's just Peter's opinion. No, that's God's opinion. You see, this book is inspired. The Holy Spirit prompted Peter to write it. But what he wrote is what God wanted recorded. And that is that Jesus Christ, well, he was without sin. There was no sin in him. He was not a leftover. Well, we can't find anybody else that we can crucify. Let's crucify him. The Romans found lots of people to crucify. Jesus should not have been one of them by Roman standards. But that was to be the manner in which he would be the Passover lamb sacrificed for us. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 said that you're to take them out of the flock. And so that's the case. Hebrews, if you're still in Peter, then you would go to Hebrews just before it. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, you take that lamb out of the flock, out of the goats, out of the sheep. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren. Jesus was born on what we observe as Christmas Day so that he could be one of us. Fully man, fully God, but fully man. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. Why? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. He came without blemish, without sin. Nothing could be laid against his account. And he did it that he might be, as one of us, the reconciliation. Well, the Passover lamb was killed. I'm keeping my place in Hebrews, and I'm going back to Exodus. In Exodus chapter 12, now verse 6. And ye shall keep it, that is the lamb, up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evenings. Now, each home was to get a lamb. If a home was too small, too poor, they could go in with another family and they could share getting the lamb. You see, God doesn't exclude anyone. Now, the rule that he gave, there were people that couldn't get a lamb. What are they going to do? Well, tough for them. No, that's not God. And so some people may struggle in understanding and coming to salvation. Some people may come to salvation out of a very horrible background. Some people may come to salvation in Christ and they've been brought up the kind of home situation which is very positive, very constructive, and very helpful. But listen, it doesn't matter what. All can come. All should come. All must come. And he tells us in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6, they shall kill it in the evening. Hebrews chapter 13. I suggested you keep your place in Hebrews because now we're going to look at chapter 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Okay? He suffered without the gate. And Christ fulfilled the fact that the lamb was killed. The Passover lamb was killed without. And the blood was to be put on the doorposts and the lintel. And here we read now how he suffered without the gate, without the approval of many people, and outside of the confines of that which was accepted by everyone. It was the lamb killed in the evening. Verse 6 says, shall kill it in the evening. How did God fulfill that? How did God fulfill killing it in the evening? Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and you're familiar with this, you know what I'm going to point out to you when we get to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 33. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. A supernatural evening. He was killed in the evening, and the lamb in Exodus, and here the darkness that God brought upon the face of the earth, the Passover lamb. The blood was applied, going back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. The blood was applied there on the doorposts. And that's why when the death angel came, he saw a house with the blood. He passed over that house. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. 1 John, of those three small letters that John the Apostle wrote, we look at the first letter, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. The blood is applied to our life, to our account. And when the death angel comes in the time of judgment, we'll not be sent to an eternity alone in hell. The lamb was consumed during the Passover feast. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Now, the Romans and the other Jews that participated in the crucifixion of Christ, they were entirely unaware of their part. And the Jews requested that Christ's body be taken down from the cross. In John chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, and verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, they besought Pilate that their legs should be broken, that they might be taken away, that would hasten death. But when they came to Jesus, the next verse says that they didn't have to break his leg because they saw that he was already dead. And so a lamb's bones, according to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 46, Exodus 12 and 46, in one house shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And the bones of Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 33, his legs were not broken, that the fulfillment of the Passover lamb would follow through. And so it was that Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, so precise are you in heaven.